line, dude. Ah, yeah.
Who that?
Hey, I'm Abel. This is your PSP podcast.
This is the worst intro we've ever had.
Episode 046.
Do you remember last time with Joe B saying, like, it was like, boobs, penis, vagina, something like that.
But that, yeah, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, this episode's about comedy. I'd like to restart this. Episode 046, comedy.
Tell some jokes.
Cue the laugh track. Horrible laugh track. Anyway, I'm sitting here.
I can't do multiple laughs by myself.
I was expecting everyone to laugh at the same time.
Well, I was ready to break on a full laugh, and everybody left me hanging, so I had to do the awkward
laugh.
Not bad.
He pointed at you.
This is our episode on comedy. It is actually long overdue. It's something we actually should have. This episode should have been 07. But
it would have sucked.
007.
It would have with our old format.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And it would have been 4 hours long.
And there would have been three of us.
And we would have done it every month.
And it would have been half static.
We would all have been huddled around the Rock Band mic. Oh, where we came from.
In.
But times have changed. I'm sitting here with your insult comic, Marcus Ellison.
Bitch!
That's not so much of an insult. It's like, this is using profanity.
But with the your way you say one. It at someone?
Exactly. Call your, you have to say someone's mom's a bitch. Then it's an insult.
Okay.
Yes. Music comedian, Audie Chesley.
Music?
Yeah. He plays a mean saxophone.
Oh, so you're the guy from Police Academy.
I don't like to talk about that.
Oh, shit. I have a bag of Milky Ways.
Oh, my God. Alternative comic. Josiah Bradley.
This just means you're a political comic.
No, what is he? Okay. He's a hipster. He's a hipster. What's up with that Arcade Fire album?
Then he should be the alternative comic.
And improv comedian, Jagar Marconi.
Oh, Heidi Daddy. Come on, people. We have no plan here. There is no script. No plan.
If we'd saved all the old bloopers and stuff that we'd done, there are a couple of
gems in there.
Hughes Line songs that we did that no one will ever hear.
Never.
Did you just say Hughes Line?
Yes.
Hugh Laurie has a line?
Yes, he does.
Huh.
Anyway.
Shouldn't Josiah be wearing those glasses?
And from now on,
those glasses, though.
We're not good. Introducing Josiah as Josiah anymore. He is now Thurnis forever.
Who has now returned finally to PCP?
Well, technically, they heard that other podcast that should have been released like two weeks earlier. They would have known.
Time paradox.
We didn't have to do that, but okay.
Time paradox.
So I bring you to a Starbucks in Siberia. I'm an improv comic.
Okay, it's cold. So... why are you in Siberia?
Because your mom's a bitch.
Okay, this is not a veiled attempt at us to be comedians. This is us discussing.
Is.
No. This is us discussing comedy and what we think is funny and how we feel of comedy as a meal.
If you don't like it, fuck you.
You're supposed to say that musically.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Now make an alternative joke, Josiah.
Alternative jokes are alternative.
Because
you're supposed to say I was doing alternative jokes before they were mainstream. God, you suck.
That's why it's so funny.
Okay, yeah, maybe more stereotypical comic.
Maybe you should be an urban comic.
Women be shopping.
It's like, y'all have been to a barbecue?
It's funny because he's black.
I guess we can start this episode off with talking about our favorite stand-up comedians right now. I guess.
Okay. Well, myself.
You've done some shows?
Well, you know.
Do we need to plug the show at all? I guess not.
All you play the imaginary drums. Chagall, plug the show.
Oh, sure, why not? We have the Tumblr, PCBLoversAnonymous.tumblr.com. From there, you can get connected to our iTunes page. You hit the button, or you can look up my name, S-H-E-G-A-W. That's W with a W, not two U's. That'd be stupid. It's not, this soundtrack is not, it's really not going off along with me at all.
I'll help you out here.
We have the email, welovepcb@yahoo.com. Of course, you're not going to use that, so who gives a flip? Be sure to hit up the Facebook page. Facebook page is Pop Culture Podcast. You can get interact with us. You can tell us what you would like to see on the show. Interact.
You can tell us why we're not funny.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lie.
What? We're plenty funny.
If we're going off script, then yeah, we're funny. We have to actually try to force it.
When do we ever force it? There's only one
right
person.
Now?
Right now?
There was one person that forced it, and
Ben
he's
Ross.
Gone.
Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, God.
I'm an insult comic. I can get away with that.
I thought you were going to make a Ben Roethlisberger joke.
Did you finish talking to the show?
You didn't say Twitter.
Well, I was going to get to that, but he cut me off, so.
We have no Twitter.
Well, you know.
And we love PCB.
Twitter doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what the alternative comic.
Okay, so anyway, I guess.
I don't know anything about no alternative comic.
Why don't you
define alternative comedy for me?
What are we broken up by? What are our titles?
Yeah.
What are these differences?
Okay. I've over the last couple, I want to say
years,
months, I've become sort of a comedy nerd, and this is actually a really good opportunity for me to sit here and talk about, to dissect comedy. I mean, we're not going to explain the joke, but we will tell you.
Well, deconstructive humor is still very funny.
I mean, comedy is a part of all walks of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most serious of things have little unintentional gems of comedy that make them so much better.
Like a 9/11 joke. What's the difference between a cow and 9/11? People stop milking a cow after 10 years.
Where are you? The last.
Why, Lord?
Stop it, Creed!
Also, that's that guy.
He's sleeping. Anyway.
Well, so we bought Bobble's house yesterday. Yes, you would. Yeah, you would.
Beans and cornbread.
Anyway, yeah. So, the main aspect of comedy that's broken out and become recognized is stand-up comedy. So, we should really start this off by talking about some of our favorite stand-ups.
Okay.
And then we can start dissecting different genres of comedy and move on therefore.
Okay.
So, you the Afro star.
Oh, well, clearly I'm militant. But, obvious way to go, Chappelle. I mean, just funny and also thought-provoking. He has this way of satire that's just beyond, like, when I saw him on The Dunny Professor, as just that random skinny dude with the bad hair and the hat, I didn't think anything of it. I'm just like, woo! Wait, that's a full moon tonight! Yeah, it's a fat joke. Clever.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's like just a joke. You never would have thought that there was this, like, so much genius behind, like, the cultural and sociological issues that he would attach in his show.
Social
and
commentary in his jokes a lot of the time.
All the time. It's just like, it's so intelligent in there. Just like, and at the same time, it's not preachy. It's funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, I mean, of course the show,
I don't think I've ever not laughed at a Dave Chappelle joke.
At least, like,
I'm not trying to be devil's advocate, but I love this Chappelle show, but that's not all Chappelle.
No, it's not.
That's that writer.
I'm not talking about just. I'm talking about his stand-up.
But his stand-up. He only did really two specials,
and one of them,
I can't remember. Wait, he did one, For What It's Worth and Killing Him Softly.
Yeah,
but one of them I hate.
Which was the one where he looked like he had like
I think it's the one where he's in San Francisco.
Oh,
yeah, that's
For What It's Worth. Yeah.
I don't really like that one. There were funny moments in him. I just felt like this isn't him on all cylinders.
Yeah, but Killing Him Softly, it kills
me. Killing Him Softly, perfect comedy.
It's like
perfect comedy.
It's back in DC. I think which was like back before, you know,
Chocolate Price. City, baby.
Yeah,
Chocolate City.
Why'd I call it Chocolate City?
Man, I wish I was old enough to have been to that channel, because I actually remember when he recorded it. So it's just like,
yeah,
wasted opportunity. So yeah,
but yeah, I love Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, Chappelle, hilarious, conscientious. Funny.
Great delivery, too. That's what makes a lot of stuff he says funny.
Yeah, definitely. Marky Mark?
Well, you stole my first one. But, okay. was one of my favorite stand-up guys. It's a controversial choice, but Dane Cook.
I want to hear you explain this.
But I like Dane Cook more as a physical comedian.
Where he's walking around
like I'm a big fan of, like, there are certain things he says that I'm just like, really, come on. But then there were certain things that, like, because I like random humor, like I appreciate random humor.
That's why we're all friends.
And there are certain things that he does that are really funny to me, like when he was talking about how when he was in he was talking about the dude with the flute, like, or something in, like, in the old war times, and he was getting blown, and they were, like, walking out of the battlefield, and he was getting blown up, and just, like, I don't know what it is about the way he says certain things, but it's really funny, and the Vicious, was the Vicious Circle the one that he did recently?
Yeah. Before we talk about Vicious Circle, I want to point out why I don't like Dane Cook.
Devil's advocate.
Yeah. Not really. Dane Cook, like, I heard this a while ago, is that every rock star wants to be a comedian, and every comedian wants to be a rock star. And Dane Cook,
rappers want to be basketball players want to be rappers, like that.
I heard this from an actual comedian, and yeah. Dane Cook is like one of the first to actively become that rock star, and it ruined him. Mm. Like he went from
too big, too quick.
Yeah, he went from being mildly funny to so overblown that I can't take him seriously anymore. Mm. And Vicious Circle, it's good, but only if you take it as him making fun of the celebrity he's got.
Yeah.
If you just watch it with no understanding who Dane Cook is.
No, that's why I love the Vicious Circle, because he's like, self-deprecating the entire time.
And he deals with his haters. He actually recognizes it. It's like, you know, they kind of have a point, but like, seriously, F you got.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like, maybe it's a part of the kid in me that still latched on to that type of comedy, because I used to think it was hilarious in high school. And
MySpace.
Yeah, back with the MySpace generation. And I don't know, there's certain jokes of his that always make me laugh. Like, he's not the funniest guy in the world, but, like, I don't know.
Just that. I don't know anything about comedy.
I swear to God, you say that right now.
I don't play Mortal Kombat.
I always liked that Bill Cosby.
Hey,
man.
Bill Cosby, before he got old and crotchety, was hilarious.
I'm a big fan of that Bob Saget from Full House.
Full House. Oh, you know nothing about Bob Saget if all you watch is Full House. Yeah.
I was sitting here thinking, let me see. I'm not sure that I have one favorite.
Well, one of the
bring up right now.
One that I want to bring up right now.
Did you really
discuss? Well, yeah, seriously, I might actually say Richard Pryor.
Oh, the top of the heap.
Honestly, I might say him because, I don't know. My dad slings his jokes around a lot.
Yeah.
And okay.
I have to be a double advocate in this, but I've never really. I mean, I've enjoyed Richard Pryor's stand-ups, but I've never felt like he was like this.
Me neither.
Maybe in the time.
Here's the thing I forgot to bring up. Comedy, like so many other entertainment art forms, is very subjective. One man's Holy Grail could be another man's scary movie 4.
Yeah. Right. So. Or Vampire Suck, if you will.
Yeah, you could have said that, because Scary Movie 4 wasn't terrible. Compared to what they've done recently?
Okay, fine.
There's never been a Scary Movie after 2.
Thank you. That was
You mind if I mention, like, some others? Because I can't really, like...
So I thought we were... I mean...
But see, you guys listen to comedy, are way more focused on comedy than I am. So, I mean, like... God rest him. I thought Bernie Mac was really funny. George Lopez before.
No, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to play devil's advocate to George Lopez. George Lopez is very one-sided. And basically he can only make one note.
Oh, okay.
And he actually was pretty funny to me until he got a TV show. Not the George Lopez show. I'm talking about Lopez Tonight. Okay. He got too high on himself and thinking I'm the main Latino comedian. I'm the only one. And now he's just not that funny.
There are others. When did this happen?
Sandra Bullock.
I don't care. Doesn't mean that he can. Nah, he's not. He's not as funny as he used to be anymore.
And he lost his show too.
And now you start to realize. That, you know, he's kind of a dick. It's like, oh
gosh. Never mind. I love all that. Like,
he took his wife's kidney and then divorced her.
He did.
Now his show's canceled.
He's kind of a dick.
Oh, and I like Sinbad also.
Yes.
Sinbad.
I missed Sinbad so much.
We got to watch him again on.
There's a period of time where comedians were just like the go-to people in movies to market something.
You know the way.
Sinbad was one of the people who showed up.
First Kid.
House Guest.
First Kid.
Yeah.
First Kid.
Yeah.
I love House Guest.
Like, I mean, a lot of his, like, he had some really awesome stuff. If anyone saw Way Black When.
Or like Afros and Bell Bottoms.
Yeah, I was saying, like, if anyone saw Way Black When this past Black History Month, every night.
I don't watch anything on Black History Month.
Do you just watch the black TV? Like, that's how you celebrate?
Yep.
You don't turn the TV on. You just watch it. Put your hands up. I'm black, y'all.
You.
I'm black, y'all.
And I'm black and black and I'm black, y'all. And I'm biggity black and black and black and black and black and black. Because I'm black. Because I'm black.
Audie.
I don't have any favorites in particular.
God damn it.
Why you gotta, like, why y'all gotta
look at shut up.
Yeah, I didn't care. There you go.
I was afraid of you. Yourself. I was afraid my entire life. But I ain't never gonna be afraid of you.
They said Chris Rock called it a day. Jeez.
Ew.
Women be shot.
But they do.
My favorite Chris Rock joke of all time was when he was talking about niggas and how much he hates them.
Yeah, me too.
Fee, fi, fo, fum. Boy, I hate a nigga.
I love that joke.
Me too. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love that.
Grand open, grand closing.
But I've always considered comedians as a type of prophets of the people, in a sense of, like, they always kind of, in a comedic sense, kind of flip issues, whether it be political or personal, and make you look at it, mm-hmm. or in a sense, like, kind of hold them
from an objective standpoint.
From a very objective standpoint.
It happens to be funny.
Break it down as, like, why this is so silly.
That's one of the pure forms of comedy, because it's supposed to be funny.
You don't
overtly take anything that they say relatively seriously,
yeah.
and allow them to just
go off the rails
whatever they want.
You don't have to think about
but
it,
then
it's you've left.
That's Dan Cook's biggest downfall, is they let him go. He went way off the rails to the point that he's talking about females throwing up, vomiting as pterodactyls and whatnot. What?
I ain't hear that. Wow.
But continue what you were saying.
Yeah.
You were pontificating. So beautiful.
Anybody, so.
Just say Patrice O'Neal.
For example, like...
What?
Patrice O'Neal.
Oh, God.
How about... missing my girl or something like that.
Exactly. It's like, oh, God. If... It's like, I don't litter... Like the Patrice O'Neal joke was like, I don't litter, not because I care about the environment, all that shit. It's because I'm afraid that if I, like, drink a soda can and I toss it on the side, it lands next to this dead white woman and my fingerprints are on it, they're gonna think I killed this.
Oh god.
I mean, you could just go down.
Oh,
okay.
But if you had to think of someone that you would listen to on a regular basis and still find funny, like, if you listen to that one album over and over again, the jokes would never stop being funny.
That's hard.
Oh,
I would have to say George Carlin.
Thank you. Okay, brilliant. All right.
Just for the old man, just from that standpoint.
Here's the thing. What I learned with stand-up is that there was a comedy boom in the 80s, and then something happened in the 90s, and, like, it was very, very slow.
Cocaine-based, mostly.
And rock stars. And so it was really hard for comedians to survive past that. That's why a lot of them went straight to television and to movies and stopped really becoming comics.
Yep.
And then you have people like Carlin and, like, Rodney Dangerfield who just...
Oh, yeah. And Rodney Dangerfield was on the circuit for 40 years before he got big.
I've learned that you, like, when you start out as a comedian, you're not going to make it big till, like, in your 40s.
Yeah. Seriously. That was back then. Now, if you don't make it by your mid-20s or so, you've missed the boat completely. You got to have an early start at the...
You need that early boom so people notice you, but you're not going to make it big till you hit the high numbers.
Stupid! Yeah. Kevin Hart is what
I was just thinking.
Why did I say Dane Cook?
We're moving on. Let's do this.
That was the insult comic.
Fuck you and your dog.
I don't have a dog. You do.
I'll buy you one to kill it.
Oh, my God.
You go.
And then make you eat it.
So you got George Carlin with his cynical outlook on life in general. Disclaimer for those that are religious. But just how the fact of how...
Why did you have to...
Oh, my God, yo, son! This motherfucker's talking to me!
Okay, I'm just getting mad.
Like,
I'm afraid to die.
No, man.
What's I said? George Carlin...
Oh, about to homeroll you.
George Carlin with that cynical outlook on life. Bill Maher with, like, the highly...
Bill Maher!
Yeah.
He's like, I'm funny, but you ain't wrong, though. Come on now.
Exactly. And then just going down the line, it was like...
But he still has to be an a-hole on top of it.
Of course. It's like, I'm an a-hole, but you know it's true.
It's like, Even though it goes to a point sometimes, she's like, you haven't.
Wait, you talking about Bill Maher or Bill Burr?
Bill Maher.
Okay, cool.
Politically
incorrect.
Real time also.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you have other comedians who I like to consider like the old man of wisdom type of comics, like
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler's funny because we'll move on. I didn't want to say. We'll get
your
back to that.
Raise, I know,
right? We got Earthquake, for example.
Oh man,
really?
I'm actually
don't say it.
I'm late for Earthquake.
God damn.
I've heard the story. I don't know the story.
Exactly.
But then again, the flame on turned out to be fairly legit. So there
I believe him. I just didn't want to hear it again.
Like you said,
no one's brought up Earthquake in a while. You haven't heard in a while.
I saw his most recent stand-up, Where You Been. That was how's your
family doing?
It's just like there's different aspects of comedy. Some really lighthearted, some really stereotypical, some very dark. It still is a means of holding up a mirror to yourself and just like, this is what life is about. And if you don't laugh at yourself in the situations that we place ourselves in, this world is fucked.
You have to be a little bit crazy to be a comedian.
I've heard that there's some comedians that like comedians. Part of comedy is delusion.
Yeah.
I mean, to go up on stage and just say crap, have people hate you for it, and then go back the next day and say, that was the greatest experience of my life.
Yeah, like the science of comedy is tragedy plus timing. That's what it is. Look at the words as Louis C.K. Everything about it in his shtick is depressing.
I think Louis C.K. is the best comedian right now.
I would say in his show, Louis is just like probably the funniest thing ever. Like, really? I never thought that a plane accident would be funny, but he managed to do that.
What I find funny about Louis C.K. is that he was like a regular comedian. And then he just decided, you know what? My life is fucked.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just talk about my life. And then he just started like that freaking masturbation joke.
Yeah.
Is the funniest thing I have ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
I thought it was real until I saw stand-up comedian masturbator. And like, I am a good father. I pay my taxes.
I'm a good citizen. I'm gonna masturbate tonight. And I'm gonna masturbate about you.
And there's nothing you can do.
And the look on her face.
Happened?
Wow.
It said.
Okay.
He shot it on there on a Fox News set, but you know it wasn't actually on air. It's just a joke. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. But it's like he just has like it's just all this like stuff is like sad but true. It's just like that stupid nigger deer. Like I was like
stupid faggot nigger cunt deer. God.
Louis C.K. is a good example of a new, not so much new type, but one that's resurged. Is just the guys who just speak true facts, no matter if you want to hear it or not. Hmm. Like there are a lot of people like who, if they would hear Louis say the word nigger, like, something's wrong with this.
But he would
just say, I don't care what you think. I'm going to say the word nigger.
Right.
He wrote Pootie Tang. No, Booty Go. No.
Wait, is this?
He wrote Pootie Tang.
I don't know who this guy is.
Louis C.K.
Is he?
And
is this guy white?
Yes, he is.
White.
Wow.
Ginger.
And
bald.
All right, so let's move on to
what?
That was my
ginger eyebrows.
I know.
You like Kramer, right?
Here's a nigger. Here's a nigger.
I didn't even know Michael Richards was like a comedian.
I didn't really know.
He's not an actor. He was just trying to make a check.
And failed miserably.
Well, yeah. I guess out of the group, I pretty much submerged myself in the most amount of comedy. Am I correct, or does someone have something to challenge me for that?
We'll see.
Round one. Fight.
I'll challenge
well,
you that, sir.
Recently,
type of comedy.
Yeah, type of comedy.
Type of comedy. You have one aspect, I have another.
So do I.
Explain that to me.
Musical comedy. Steve Lynch, Bo Burnham.
That's more you.
But that's not all I listen to.
I don't
know. You're right. But in that case.
But like, how much time do you spend listening to comedy on a regular basis? That's what I was trying to. Well, as I said, submerge myself.
Okay, you're talking about like timing, then you would have to take the cake.
Because you immerse yourself in.
Yeah, a lot of things.
Lots and lots, like on a weekend, I'm chilling. I just like watch all like stand up.
Like I see
and
like,
the stand up specials.
I've seen apparently Wyatt Cenac has like four stand up specials. If you didn't know it, so there.
Who has
Wyatt Cenac?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so my favorite comedian right now, I think Louis C.K. is the best comedian right now. Mm-hmm. My favorite comedian is Mike Birbiglia.
I know you're gonna say
okay.
that.
Okay.
Because there's something about Mike that just Mike is awkward.
Yeah, like
he's awkward on stage.
He's awkward.
He's awkward talking to people. He's awkward doing interviews. There's something about him that just screams socially inept. That's what I gravitate toward. Like, a lot of his comedy, like, what I should have said is nothing is my mantra of life.
Yeah.
That the joke being that, like, there's a woman moving I was moving a bed into my new apartment. And a woman opened the door for me. And then she turned to me and said, I know you're not a rapist because a rapist wouldn't have a bed like that. Now, what I should have said is nothing. But what I did say is, you'd be surprised.
See, it's the new age of, like, social
awkwardness. Oh, like, my God.
Because I have been in situations like that.
You're surprised.
But, like, the idea being that what I should have said was nothing, like, but I kept talking.
Why do they keep letting me talk?
It's like...
Did they really have a lot of socially awkward comedians back then?
Because
I don't really think so.
No, they were all chain smoking.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, it's kind of a new thing.
Well, there was Carrot Top, but like that's more. Like
he doesn't count.
Carrot Top last 10 years. Carrot Top last 10 years.
But there's also this one other one whose name I forget. Who's just like, I spilled spot remover on my dog. Now I can't find him anymore.
Would you consider Woody Allen?
No, Woody Allen's a writer.
Is he really a comedian?
He did stand up.
He did some stand up. I want to say,
like, because there's a lot of crossover between acting, comedians, yeah, music, all of that. And, like, for the most part, I think a comedian is someone who, for the most part, comedy is their main – stand-up comedy and performing in front of others is their main outlet for comedy.
Eddie Murphy is no longer a stand-up.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no. He's barely not even an actor, really, that much.
Nope.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Not since Dream.
How far anymore. He's fallen.
I know.
Mm.
Hookers.
Transvestites.
Transvestites are good to you.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
But I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Where it's the best comedians, in my opinion, are the ones that don't have that fame. It's like you say, like the best, well, some of the best rappers, if you will, or musicians are the ones that aren't really commercially well known.
Yeah.
But they stick to that craft.
That's debatable.
To an extent, that's why I said my favorite.
They're popular for a reason. But then again, how was the last thing you got to Jay Leno?
Huh?
What's the last thing you got to Jay Leno? Like
never.
It's been
like, I don't even watch Jay Leno.
I know, but he's probably the most pop. He's probably the most famous stand-up comedian in the world.
Whoa,
he is.
Really?
He is.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that's the only reason he got the Tonight Show back because he's Jay Leno. Wow.
Like he's just like
yeah. I mean, I always thought Conan was funnier than Jay.
Funnier, but it's like he was only. But the fact of the matter is, he got the shaft.
Yeah.
So it's just like you know. Yeah. So and it's not even because it's Conan; it's because it's the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Whoever's running that is. I mean, come on now. Though that's been rose by the greatest.
Well, it's funny that on that term, like I was listening to a lot of like I was listening to everyone knows Drew Carey.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Drew Carey was part of the comedian boom during like the early '90s, yeah, where networks were just giving comedian shows.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like Roseanne, Home Improvement, Sinbad. they were just giving them shows, and like Drew Carey, like I remember like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Comedy Central was like doing this countdown, like the best stand-up comedians in the world.
Oh yeah,
and like at that point, I didn't know Drew Carey was a stand-up comedian until I saw him in his army garb doing stand-up
in the Marines, like yeah, sure, swole, in shape. I'm like,
and like right. I was listening to him talk to other comedians and talk about what changed his life in terms of comedy. And he was like, it was a Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Like he was one of the last people who to sit down on that couch with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And the day after, it changed his life.
Exactly.
Now,
now,
flash forward. Now, Tonight Show means nothing.
Yeah. Letterman might be a good opening for you, but like Tonight Show, you're not gonna get anywhere. I know Chappelle was on it for a little bit, but guys like Mo Rocca and stuff like that. But it's just like they don't get much further than that.
Did anybody ever?
I mean, Conan watch or is look a resurgence up like Steve of Martin. Andy Rickman.
Steve Martin is an interesting comedian.
He's a humorist. I was going to say. You know what I mean? It's something about...
I thought you said Steve Harvey. I was like, what?
I don't know what he is, but like, we'll get to that later. And that's a promise.
No.
He doesn't tell jokes. I talk about church. Look at my suit and all his buttons.
You like my suit, player?
You like this suit, player?
I a fire.
Oh, the fushin'.
Just how I continue what you were saying.
Chagall was saying. Because I remembered seeing his book, and I just sat down and read a little bit, and it was just all experience.
Steve Martin is one of those classic stand-ups who, at a certain point of his life, went into acting and made the transition.
That early Saturday Night Live era.
Yeah. Like a lot of actors who go from the Groundlings and go to SNL become these sort of big names.
The Jerk. Mm. I mean,
The Jerk is one of the most fantastic movies ever made.
I mean, one of the best movies I've ever seen. I was born a poor black child. What?
Well, if you haven't seen The Jerk, it's the story. It's a story that Steve Martin actually sat down, wrote himself about a white man raised by black people who rises up to become rich and then loses everything.
Yeah.
Damn. Huh. I have to look it up. Okay.
So sorry, Peter.
What about Jerry Seinfeld?
Okay. Jerry Seinfeld is another interesting thing. I've personally.
What about that airplane food?
Personally, I've never found Seinfeld funny, but that's because that's a generational thing. That's a generational thing. Right, my cousin, who's 7 years older than me, loves Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. So Seinfeld's more of a generational comedy.
I think my dad
comedy.
Loves him, too.
I didn't know it was a generational. Yeah. It's a taste thing. Because I think Larry David's work on Curb Your Enthusiasm is hilarious. I don't find Jerry Seinfeld stuff like that. It's like, because I never watched Seinfeld. I always
doesn't transcend generation. It's a part of generation.
I always promise myself, all right. I'll watch the stand-up part. If I laugh during your stand-up bit at the beginning of the episode, I'll actually watch the episode.
If I go up to like a group of 50-year-old men and ask them if they like Justin Bieber, they will say, what the fuck? If I go to a bunch of 12-year-old boys like, Bieber!
No, they'll probably be like, we need an adult. But there we are.
Bieber!
Not that old.
Anyone
else? You look it.
What about, what's the black lady's name who was in,
Monique?
No.
Goldberg?
I mean, you can talk
we're
about
just like throwing
want.
Out black.
okay, I'm gonna eat some. I'm gonna eat some girl. I'm gonna make a stance. I don't like black. I don't like black comedy.
Well, you know, okay,
at
okay.
all
urban comedy.
Urban comedy. Yes.
Well, urban comedy translates into black comedy.
I know it does.
I don't like the I've listened to a lot of stand up from various states of life. Mm-hmm. It becomes apparent when you listen to black comedians versus white comedians. Mm-hmm. Black comedians cater directly towards black people and just black people. Like, you know, y'all remember growing up in the hood? Now, I've watched stand-up specials with white people in the audience, and it's the most awkward thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I remember growing up in the hood.
I see you got a couple of white people here. I just want to say thank you for coming.
It's like
I'm sorry, but when black people do white people's voices, I'm sorry, but sometimes it's really funny.
That's why I love Mike Birbiglia. He has the white guy doing a black guy doing a white person voice. This is hilarious. I don't talk like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Most black comedians are pretty.
And it's a trap to get into. You become popular in the black community and just that.
Cat Williams. Hate Cat Williams.
Brother. This right here, brother.
Black comedian ever.
But he's just on the, he's
I stole that from Pharrell. I'm sorry.
But he's only popular on the Chitlin circuit.
Oh, look at my weed joke.
That's why Kevin Hart is. So I kind of.
Dave did do black humor.
Well, he did, but he changed.
But he was intelligent.
But no, he peppered it in with satire. A lot of black people just make black jokes.
Oh,
they don't try and compare
point.
It to
good
other
point.
Things.
You're right.
Good
point.
Because like Kevin Hart, he was at Urban Comic for a while, and it's just like. Yeah,
but the thing about Kevin Hart
went from urban comedy to making fun of himself.
He realizes his family is hilarious.
Yeah.
And so he just makes fun of his family the entire time. And one of the things that's brilliant about that is if you start to look at your family sometimes, you think notice some really, really funny things about them.
Yeah.
It's just most of us don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's that comedy comes from truth.
It's Mike Birbiglia's true story. Bringing it back to Mike, he's like...
We all know you're in love with Mike.
His entire stick is that he had a lot of problems as a kid. His dad would tell him,
"Hush,
don't tell anyone." And Mike just decided, "I'm going to tell everyone."
Have you ever seen any like? Well, then you look at white comedians.
Well, here's the thing: white comedians. There are white comedians who cater to specifically white people, but the majority of white comedians cater to the entire spectrum of things.
Right.
How so?
Look, I make an airplane joke.
I can't. I'm Arab.
A black comedian will make a joke about an airplane about I'm a black guy on an airplane.
Right.
White comedian will say, I'm gonna make a joke about...
Black guys are going to save us.
But a white comedian will make a joke about an airplane. Yeah. Like, it will touch on everything.
There are two.
Not just black people, not just white people, not just...
The stewardess, well, the problem with a lot of black comedians is most of them were told most of them came from the hood.
And
like
that's
I know,
all,
like
that's
there's
all
a
they know.
Yeah, it's there's seldom black comedians that didn't come from that life.
That's like that's what is not a love crossover. Yeah. You're looking at like really big comedians like outside the Kings of Comedy. The only person to really break out of that was Richard Pryor, and that was like
that was like 20 years beforehand.
Yeah. Like everyone else was relegated to that BET era of
Comic View.
Oh god!
But it's like even with white comics, there were like that. There were those two flavors. You have like just a white comic who does jokes, like Jim Gaffigan, for instance.
Jim Gaffigan is fantastic.
I have a catchphrase here and there. I make some absurd humor. I do some funny voices. okay. And then you have like the ones that are exclusively white, who are the equivalent of that black, like the king, like the Larry the Cable Guy or whatever like that.
Well, that's yeah.
Yeah, actually, I hate I hate redneck comedy much
Jeff
more than I hate
Jeff Foxworthy. That,
we're going to talk about that blue comedy, comedy yeah. era of comedy and like white people catering specifically to a genre of white people. I do think Ron White and Bill Engvall
yeah.
are funny.
I think they're funny individuals.
Yes. Jeff Foxworthy got lost in that, not you, fine, you might be a redneck
thing. You might be a redneck. He got a catchphrase in it. So it's like, he got a...
Catchphrases are like, I've heard a lot of comedians saying, a lot of comedians I've heard from, I've learned from that like, If something becomes a regular part of your act, get rid of it.
Yeah,
work trains, bitch.
That was a
problem. I know. I know.
That was the part. Like
that soon becomes
your thing. Like they're like those. Apparently, Joan Rivers was like a fantastic comedian back in the day.
Apparently,
fantastic. But she became so known for ripping on people in fashion.
Yeah,
that's all people.
That's
know
all yeah. she is now. That's all she is now.
Look at that chiffon dress. I literally can't hear his face. Is that who Kristen Wiig was making fun of when she used to do that? Wow.
She's a daughter too. That's scary.
Yeah,
so inappropriate with her.
Well, she wasn't that. She was, like I said, she was a popular stand-up in the early days before the comedy boom ended, and then she sort of.
And people realize that women aren't funny.
Comedy show hilarious.
Let's get into that.
Sarah right, Silverman is hilarious.
That's who I was trying to. Who saw Balls of Fury?
Yo,
me.
The black girl.
Aisha girl did.
The tall.
Aisha is not a comedian, but she's okay. She's a comedic actor who's realized that the genre of people
who's had catered to and has okay. had one stand-up special.
Yes, she is sort of like how she's a successful version of Olivia Munn.
Except she's actually put a control in her life.
Even then, neither one of them have asses. So
this is true. But they both like white men, so there we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing personal.
Nothing personal. All right, other female comedian.
Rosie O'Donnell.
I'm trying to avoid Paula
Poundstone. Wow. She was on whole movie for a long period of time.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Before her troubles.
I was really trying to avoid saying Monique. I was really trying.
I said Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes was fantastic.
Her show was terrible, though.
Yeah.
But then she transformed into acting and then sort of lost that.
Ella really did. Like, do you remember when she was on the Drew Carey show?
No.
She was the secretary. She was Drew Carey's boss. And they had, they started dating. I was like, because I always had that feeling like,
Wanda. Kyke Ferguson was on that show as well.
Yeah. Who's
Ferguson.
But there's that. So it's like, that doesn't quite work. So I guess, like, she kind of moved towards, her shtick has, like, become more socially conscious of herself. So she's a lesbian. She kind of came out about that. So it's like, that's what makes it a little bit smarter. Whereas a comedian, like, say, Sarah Silverman, or an Ellen, like that.
But yeah,
like,
Ellen. I completely forgot that Ellen was a comedian.
Yeah,
Ellen.
She has, Ellen's one of those comedians who like, there are two, when you're a comedian, there are three avenues you can go through.
Yeah.
You can stick with stand-up. You can go into television.
Or you can get a talk show.
Or you can get a talk show.
Yeah.
And depending on how good you are as a stand-up, depends on how they'll survive.
I would love to see an Oprah stand-up. Oh, my God. Have you seen how rich I am? If you don't laugh at my joke, I'll buy your family.
You probably would, too.
Oh, God.
She can buy and sell me 2 billion times.
Good Lord.
It wouldn't cost that much. Just cheap.
Exactly.
What do you think your net worth is?
How much money do I have in my pocket? Nothing.
Dang. Enough for a large fry.
One large fry. A single fry.
One. No, one fry and a medium fry.
Hey, y'all making me hungry. Come on now.
It's a little burnt in the bottom. Yeah.
So then.
We're on the subject of women's comedy.
But a comedian, like, say, a Sarah Silverman, whose shtick I get is like, I'm cute, and I'm going to say something inappropriate.
Well, yeah, Sarah Silverman, that's her entire thing. She's legitimately attractive. And she's like one of the most disgusting people that ever.
She's my Jewish doppelganger, apparently.
Pretty much, actually.
Yeah, I know it's a terrible thing.
Except you're not cute.
Well, you know. Tell your mama I'll call her, by the way.
Oh, we're going into mama jokes.
You do with mine every episode.
Because I'm an insult comedian.
I'm not good at. I'm not playing the saxophone.
Do it.
Queen Latifah.
Do what we pay you for.
Stand-up comedian, was she?
Nah.
Wait, who?
Queen Latifah?
No. Sorry. She was a rapper, Thurnis.
Damn, Thurnis.
comedian, actress, oh, man. Singer. Just because she's a lesbian doesn't mean that she has no
because man, I guess I'm a naive comedian then.
Man, that works,
because that's
no one
that's
steals on who is Alan.
That,
who
that would
is
be a
Alan?
Great act for him. Just walk up. So
who's I'm, Alan Wake?
He'd be so confused.
Like, are you still with the Emancipation Proclamation?
I don't
know. Maybe
we should take a break.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we should probably take a break.
My bad.
Yeah.
Then we'll jump into another genre. I admit it, I'm a fashionista. No homo. And I know every line of Mystic Pizza. No homo. Damn, this rosé is something special. No homo. Yeah, we should goof around and wrestle. No homo. Let's hit the high top and take a dump. No homo. We're all friends, ain't no need for trunks. No homo. Man, I'm really feeling buzzed right now. No homo. Are you really feeling buzzed right now? No homo. Yo, we should watch this gay porno tape. No homo. But that's a joke, cause we're all straight. No homo. Man, you could wash laundry on those abs. No homo. Yo, I think girls look good in drag. No homo. Hey, I've been thinking about posing new. No homo. Yo, I've been thinking about fucking a dude. No homo. A week of three-way 69.
That was just a female comedian. Just one, my favorite female comedian is this girl named Maria Bamford. Now, if you don't, if you know Maria Bamford, her entire stick is that she does voices. Like, she has this really annoying, like, little mouthy, like, 9-year-old woman.
So
girl
many
voice.
YouTube videos are out there.
But her ability to mimic adult women's voices to certain degrees is hilarious. You can literally do her own show by herself.
Yeah.
Huh.
She's fantastic. She's one of those comedians who I really want to make it big. Because she's one of those people who's been in the business for a long time. And because of how she is, she's not going to get that, like, Tina Fey, like, attraction. Because, for various reasons.
Well, that's
does she look as good as Tina Fey?
It's debatable.
She's
good looking, but it's objective.
No,
but
like,
it's objective.
Tina Fey has this nerd allure to her that makes her.
Yeah.
Maria has this awkward sort of look to her.
She has this gettable thing that's got going on, but it's not the same as the.
Is she cute in the way, what's her name from Garfunkel and Oates is?
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
I hate the fact that he just dropped from.
Talking about
how they look.
I'm sorry. Well, you just name dropped Tina Fey. It was kind of hard not
but
to say that.
Compared to Tina Fey in terms of look, and then you went. Straight,
oh, come on. It's like Sarah Palin. The only reason she's even remotely popular is because people want to bang her.
That's true. Anyway.
Nailing Palin.
I saw that.
I'm Lisa Lampanelli. I've got so much black penis in me.
I am tired of Lampanelli. The white. I am tired of the white woman loving black man dick humor.
You know what?
It's true.
I'm done.
Not for me.
This is, you jerk. He's like
a real jerk.
No, it's the truth.
You know what? You know white women love the show.
You know what, Marcus? I feel like sometimes you've got a white girlfriend just so you can make some Klansmen angry. Just so you will go out in public, just be like, you mad.
My secret's out.
Joe,
they found us out.
Well, I love traditional stand-up comedy. Nice. My personal favorite genre of comedy is musical comedy. Because, like, we've talked about this behind scenes a couple of times, is that when you listen to a song, especially if it's a song you've already heard before, more often than not, you're not listening to the words. You're listening to the
music.
Melody, the beat, how the song makes you feel. You're not paying attention. That's
why
a lot of people are able to listen to music in the background when they're doing other things. Yeah.
Why listen to Waka Flocka?
But with musical comedy, to get the, even if it's produced really well, to get the effect of the song, you have to pay attention to the lyrics.
You do?
Yeah.
The content is so important.
The content of it. That's why musical comedy is the easiest and hardest genre of comedy to get into. Mm. Anyone can be a musical comedian.
Anyone can rap now, so it's just a matter of...
Rap is the worst thing that's happened in musical comedy in forever.
Anybody can rap,
well,
but most people can't rap well.
Exactly.
As I said, rap is the worst thing that's happened to musical comedy. And that's why, like, there have been...
Cut Lonely Island.
What?
No! It's like, no!
No, the Lonely Island are the only people I know, for the most part, who... Cause the difference between the Lonely Island and a lot of musical comedians who decide to do rap is that they are the legitimate rappers who are able to be funny.
Yeah.
They take the rap part of their work seriously.
Punchline, punchline,
wait, how many
punchline.
Other rapping musical comedians
don't
are there?
Worry.
Yeah. I knew who was going there.
You know, a lot of rappers themselves who are just straight up rappers, they get by on just being funny. So it's just
the,
like
the punchlines.
Yeah,
but like, there's a subgenre that felt like Bo Burnham. Like, we'll talk about the Lonely Island, but Bo Burnham. Why I like him as a comedian is that
One is his rise to fame.
Mm-hmm. It's a good story, right?
Yeah, yeah. He sat, like, he had a brother who, like, Bo was like, oh.
My brother's always doing this stuff. Like,
yeah, like Bo was one of those kids. Bo was awkward kid.
Yeah.
Like, he
was. But he's smart.
Yeah, he was smart. And he just, like, he had a brother. Like, he'd write these stupid songs. And he had a brother who said, I want to hear them, but I can't because I'm like, I'm in California. Well, I can put this on YouTube and you can listen to it. Yeah. And he had a fan base that grew and grew and
from
grew.
From just like,
until he became what he is now.
Yep, I appreciate that because he's, like, he's younger than us, right?
Yes. Just great.
The only thing that annoys me about Bo is his voice. When he starts singing, it fundamentally annoys me for some reason. I have no idea why.
Well, let's analyze it. Why? So I think I have.
He's
an
got
idea
that
why.
Glee kid voice.
There we go.
And, oh, yeah. and it bothers me.
It's like I can see you right next to Lea Michele wearing another good socks.
Yeah, it just annoys me. But he's funny. I'll give him that much.
I'm like Glee.
Like I said, like musical comedy is all about how you construct your song. You can easily say, "Oh, then he died," or you go on a giant tirade about. His rise and then the death.
And how deep and describe in excruciating detail how he died.
Stephen Lynch.
Stephen Lynch is my favorite musical comedian.
Ah, okay.
Because that is a man who
Stephen Lynch is hilarious.
He sings to you like you're 5 years old.
He's he's the singing equivalent of Jason Bateman. Because Jason talks to everybody like they're five.
Yeah.
He does. Okay.
Stephen, he released like I want to say 4 albums.
Really?
Yeah, and for the most part, every album is fantastic. Every song is like a home run, and it's one of those things where like even if the song's not a home run, you don't like it. Just listen to the craft of what the song is about, get into its head, and then you find out why it's funny.
Hermaphrodite.
Dang.
One of my favorite musical comedians who Flight of the Conchords.
Ah, okay.
Who. A New Zealand folk group who made it big on an HBO show, and then after 2 seasons, it was over. And my understanding is it wasn't over because it wasn't a popular show, because apparently they are very popular.
They got a strong following, I'll tell you that much.
Especially with female fans.
Definitely. It's like, oh my gosh, I want him to have my baby.
It was funny if like they will admit they're not good musicians.
Yeah.
Like, there was a show where someone was like, I love you! And they had to stop and
okay.
they were confused. Why would someone love them that much?
Like, I think you're confused.
Their show ended because they did all of their songs. Like, we don't want to write anymore.
Hey,
that is too much work.
I can respect that at least because they're like, I mean, we did it for 2 seasons. Enough.
And then, like, one thing I found interesting in musical comedy: if you're a comedian and you can play an instrument, you could be a musical comedian. Mm-hmm. But to become a musical comedian, you have to dedicate yourself to it.
Yeah.
Because you can't just do one song every once in a while and say, I'm done. It becomes a part of your act. Like, another one of my favorite musical comedians is Chris Hardwick and Mike Ferman of Hard and Firm. Because they are nerd comedians. They're two men who grew up as socially awkward people who decide we're going to use comedian.
Around other socially awkward people.
Yes. I mean, they literally have a song about pie, and it's hilarious.
Which kind of pie? The mathematical pie? Or
yes, the mathematical pie. And it's just them listing all the numbers of pie that they know.
What?
That doesn't happen in the hood.
Okay. Then ain't nobody know no pie, no hood.
Yeah, but calculate the square of a ratio.
Another one of my favorites is Garfunkel and Oates. You've probably seen Garfunkel, I want to say, Kate Gucci. She, no, no.
Goose.
The Gooch.
No, no, no. Her name is Kate, and her name is, I think it is Gucci. I'm not sure.
It is the Gooch. The Gooch.
Well, she was the Gooch on Scrubs. And she fought a two-girl musical duo called Garfunkel and Oates, the joke being it's Hall and Oates and Paul Simon. And Art Garfunkel.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
And they take the low, they do music with a ukulele.
You can't do music with a ukulele. That's like doing music with a harmonica.
Like
hey man.
Hey, sorry.
Kate plays ukulele, and I think Ricky, the other girl in the other group, plays guitar. And it's musical comedy is very – it's not even subjective. If a musical song is funny, it's funny, and everyone will get the joke.
Something about the construction of making that a song.
But the problem is, I think the thing that's subjective about it is if you're into that type of music.
It's Kate McCoochie. There we go.
Okay. McCoochie. Like, if you're not into folk music, you're not going to find folk music.
Well, the thing, they don't all just do folk music songs.
No, I'm not just saying that. I'm just saying, like, music. That's the thing with musical comedy is if you're not into that style of music, it might be harder for you to even try and get into that.
You're probably right.
But
that's why there's a lot of people that like The Lonely Island, because there's a lot of people into rap music.
Well, okay, we'll jump into Lonely Island, and like I said, we'll get back to them. And like Lonely Island are the most successful musical comedians out right now,
which I think is a problem. Because their second album wasn't as good as their first one.
We've talked about this, and it's not that it's bad.
It's not bad. It's more. It's an actual album.
It became music, and less comedy.
Exactly. So there are certain songs that I'm actually listening to just because I think it sounds dope and not because it's funny.
And then I realized, wait a minute, do I do that with rap music also? Do I just, like, kind of find myself, I'm not even listening to the
rap. And that takes away from the musical part of the...
Well, see...
Let's go back and talk about their original album,
Incredibad.
Incredibad. And there were a lot of songs in there that I didn't really like the first time I listened to it.
But when I
sat down and analyzed what made those songs funny, they were fantastic. Like, Punch You in the Jeans is the dumbest song I've ever... It's literally about punching someone in the jeans. And there's no reason it should be funny.
And then We Like Sports.
Right over my head.
We Like Sports is the one that, like, from someone who was going to the Lonely Island, like, oh, hip-hop, yo.
You hear that song.
Yeah, you hear that song. Like, what the fuck is this shit? Yo, B! Yo, Andy! What the fuck is this shit? Is that hip hop? It's just like it was just two guys that like sports.
I think it's kind of, I think one thing that's kind of cool about Lonely Island is they know a lot of people, so they get high profile guest stars, and a lot of the time they get them to be funny on it too.
True.
So it's not just them just laying a verse like Snoop Dogg and
messing with Michael Bolton. That was the problem with the second album is that. They got people on the tracks, and they were
doing courses.
Yeah, they were
features.
They were features. They weren't.
You're just making a song.
But then Michael Bolton there came out of nowhere and took their song, which was legitimately serious, and then turned it into the most.
Jack Sparrow. I mean, the thing is, the first album, I guess they weren't really focused on making it sound.
They made all the beats for the most part. Jorma made all the beats.
Well, Jorma made all the beats on the second album too.
No, the second album they actually went out and bought beats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, even like, but it didn't. They weren't focused on trying to make it.
That's why the second one sounds so more professional.
You know, like to me, the their funniest songs usually are with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Bring it on down to Placerville.
And, we
talked about this, and like when you get an actual star and make them do something funny, and not just have them talk. Do something funny. It becomes comedy. Like who are we talking about? Whenever they say, it's not Nicki Minaj. It was someone who every time a word comes out of their mouth, Rihanna. Yes, Rihanna is like a legitimately good singer. But when she said, when you put anything, we'll talk. When you put a word in her mouth and make her sing it, that's not actually part of a song. It is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard.
Hat ticks.
Or should I just pay Kanye?
I mean,
oh no,
he beat himself.
Because, like, as somebody that listens to a lot of rap music,
and Rihanna,
I had a problem with their second album. Because, like I said, I started listening to it objectively as just a song. And then it wasn't a comedy thing anymore. It was just like, I'm listening to this as an album. Whereas when I went into the first album, Incredibad, I was cracking up the entire time.
Welcome to the Space Olympics.
Exactly. This stuff was legitimately funny. Like, to me, the funniest song on the second album was No Homo.
Because it's like, it's such a simple concept. And they just decided to run with it.
It was actually a joke that a bunch of us did on the bus a long time ago, but they made it into a song.
Everyone did that joke. Everyone does it in their life. So, I mean, like, pause, no homo, pause, no homo. So it's like, I'm like, no homo, but like, I just want to do you in the butt. Like, you know, so it's like,
exactly. Did on the bus a long time ago.
What?
So we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back, maybe talk about some other genres, and then maybe wrap this baby up.
Your booty on the floor, or in the chair, grounds, or in the air. Just don't go
comedy that I didn't realize I really enjoyed until I actually started like listening to it is a character comedy, where a person just creates a character that's not inherently funny, but then just do like it's part of improv.
Example.
One of my favorite shows podcasts to listen to is Comedy Bang Bang, Scott Aukerman. And one of the things he does is he gets comedians to come on the show and do characters.
Oh, I know what you mean now.
And like, this
Cake Boss.
Cake Boss.
Ice-T.
One of my favorite people.
Two of HR.
Yeah.
three
comedians I didn't think I was. One comedian I didn't think I thought was funny before I started listening to Comedy Bang Bang was Paul F. Tompkins. I didn't really think he was funny until I listened to him do characters, and they were fantastic. Oh, he does Ice-T, the Cake Boss, Dame Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber. He does an Ariana Huffington.
Hello, darling.
No, his Ariana Huffington. Like, hello, I'm Ariana Huffington.
Why does that like all that?
Oh man, Mary Beth Live. Anyway, and then like another one of my favorites is a dude named Nick Kroll.
I know that name, definitely know that.
Yeah, he does this thing.
I definitely know that name.
He was in. Do you remember Dinner for Schmucks?
Yes, I do.
He was Paul Rudd's friend earlier in the movie.
Okay, that's what. All right.
And his big thing on Comedy Bang Bang, who shows up all the time in these various characters. One is El Chupacabra, who's a Mexican radio DJ. Huh? Yeah, hello, Nicolo. Oh,
it's Sol. Sigo, sigo, sigo.
Oh, looks like we got a baby on the line. Get past the baby.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it's me. It's a baby.
A quick aside, Dinner for Punch is the only time I found Jeff Dunham funny, so I'll leave it at that.
Wait, what?
Jeff Dunham, that guy with the puppets.
He's still alive?
He was in that?
He was funny in that.
Wow.
I know, right?
I miss
the only thing I ever found funny from him was...
He's still getting canceled, I know.
Oh, and then you have another one called Fabrice. Who's
oh,
this?
God.
Who's this? I'm not even sure if he's gay, but he's a craft services.
He does
craft services, and he does spoken word poetry, which is fantastic.
Okay, he might be a little bit, you know. Like,
and then my favorite is Bobby Bottle Service.
Oh God,
which is a parody of Three Months of the Jersey Shore people. And what I love about Bobby Bottle Service is no one gets the joke that Bobby isn't a real person. Like, literally, he's done events in Vegas as Bobby Bottle Service. Then people come up to him and say, "Hey, yo, Bobby! My name is Nick Kroll."
Bobby Bottle Services.
"Hey, yo, man. To me and hence and henceforth, I just want to tell you, you know, John Gosling is my hero." Like, oh, wow. Bobby, what? You know, I like the way he handles his business, the way he wears Ed Hardy shirts.
He's got his eight kids. He don't need to see no more.
Hey, yo, no disrespect, but I do not respect you.
Oh my God!
It's Bobby B.
All due respect.
His name is Robert Brumshaw. And no one gets it. I love.
That's good. Okay, that's good.
And another one is a dude named Gaines Adomian, who does the perfect Jesse the Body Ventura. "I'm here to ask questions. I want the truth. I'm here for the truth." And he does another one of my favorites, Huell Hauser. He does this show called California's Gold.
Yes.
But he shows up on Comedy Bang Bang all the time as this confused guy who just asks questions. So you're telling me that you're my mother? No, I'm not your mother. Wait, then who are you? Can you explain? "Yo, there's something wrong with you. We're going to do some regressive therapy." Okay. What? What's going on? And then he secretly turns out to be really racist. Like, what? Phil Kuehl, what do you call this? Oh, skin color. Wait. That's a really bad visual. This is a visual joke that no one here on the radio can hear.
He points to his arm.
Yeah, he points to his arm. But, oh, this is skin color. What do you feel about if you saw someone who didn't have who had a different skin color? Oh, I feel like washing them off.
Jesus!
Wow.
And then he did
help him, Father.
Yeah, like I find character comedy it's a crutch to use because you're not so much doing comedy as so much living as a character. He's just acting in the form of
Yeah,
and
method acting almost.
Yeah. But it's one of my favorite genres I fall in love with recently. Because when it's done well and not just like comedians like doing an improv, it's like not improvisation, like a parody of a character.
Is it, so in a way, sketch comedy is almost character acting. Well, I mean, character comedy. But because a lot of stuff that happens on like SNL or Mad TV more like
impersonations. That's what I'm talking about. Impersonations. Yeah. I still don't dislike impersonations because for the most part, like I don't hear it. Like there are some people who do it well, but like the Bill Cosby impersonation.
Damn it, D-Ray.
The Bill Cosby impersonation that I've been hearing for the last 20 years, I have never heard Bill Cosby sound like that. Never.
It's funny,
but I just don't understand it.
You know, he even thought it was funny like 30 years ago. I'm just like, you didn't even sound like me anymore. Like, have you heard me? It's like
he has like, never
if you,
done
exactly. If you watch those episodes of the Cosby Show, he's like, well, I'm gonna talk to you, my son, like a normal person. But if you listen to someone do a Bill Cosby impersonation,
well, you see,
hey yo. I'm wearing a sweater, a ball of rock.
I'm single, it's a baby, and the boy, and the girl.
It's the J-E-L-L-O.
But like when there's certain impersonations, like the typical Jay Leno impersonation, that's Jay Leno.
Yeah.
There is no denying that's Jay Leno.
Have you seen this?
D-Ray does the greatest Bernie Mac impression of all time.
Let me tell you something.
Speaking of Bernie Mac, he was great.
Yeah.
I love Bernie. I think he was on the better urban comedians of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's like, now the boy, he was a homosexual. Now, and so on.
How about time they got cookies? Get your favorite birthday.
Bernie Mac came out the urban comedian thing when he started doing his show. And that appealed to a wider demographic of people.
It was a black sitcom. America!
But if you
got them kids?
When he sat down in front of his group of friends, they were white people.
Yeah. He's like, because let's face it, he's rich. You're going to get some white friends.
And like
sign of rich.
While Steve Harvey didn't break out of that urban ghetto.
Because Steve Harvey is close-minded.
Well, that and the Steve Harvey show was about an urban school. It was Steve Harvey.
Except for Bullethead.
Oh, and Lydia Liza Gutman, aka
she was Glee before Glee.
But she was also after All That and didn't do that much well. Did much better, so.
I feel really bad for everyone who was on All That. Not because like it was like a horrible show or anything. It was a fantastic show. When I was a kid, it was my comedy.
Why is there a rhinoceros in my toilet?
But none of them really, outside of Keenan, have broken out of
Amanda
that
Bynes.
Thing.
Amanda Bynes.
Amanda. But she came in at the tail end.
Yeah.
She wasn't
seen her face lately.
Tail end of that. Okay, true. Her face looks swollen. But like that, she came to the tail end of that first. That first rotation.
The first rotation before they tried to bring him back and it didn't really work.
Fair enough. What happened to Kale? Where is he?
Last time I saw him, he was on Girlfriends as the
gay guy. Yeah. And he was on Attack of the Show playing Mick Hammer.
Oh, yep.
Oh, yes. He was Hammer.
Because Olivia Munn, as her inner tart in a fit of stupid, decided to pronounce MC Hammer Mick Hammer.
In a fit of stupid.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get comedy from the most unintentional, we make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, we make fun
of the show
all the time when someone makes a minor mistake and pronounce something wrong.
Yeah.
Like, people listen to the RZA thing. That was someone legitimately looking at the RZA's name and just saying it RZA.
Like, it's all in capitals. How else am I supposed to imagine it would just be an appreciation?
My main man, the RZA on the beats.
And, like, and one of the problems with PCP is we're pegged as a comedy podcast.
Well,
for various reasons, and one of the biggest problems is we're never going to be Adam Carolla.
There's less people there.
We're never going to be Adam Carolla. But no, a lot of our jokes are inside, and we don't have the time or energy to explain half the crap that we're saying.
For those of you on Spill, we're basically another Let's Do This. So yeah,
but for some reason, people still find the inside jokes they don't understand that we do funny. So hey,
they're laughing. I'm laughing too.
Hey, exactly.
If people want us to explain every inside joke, we will.
Let's do a podcast on our inside jokes and the story behind it.
And then you'll realize that we're not funny because we're just repeating things we've heard everywhere else.
Or we could be more funny. Who knows?
Yeah. You don't understand.
I don't understand.
Okay, we should go. Wait, let's go through all like a bunch. I thought we were all just gonna do a bunch of our old catchphrases or something like that.
I don't know because I don't want to get sued. So,
hey, trust me, if you were gonna get sued,
and
it would happen a long time ago.
I believe in the comedian. If something becomes a regular part of your act, get rid of it.
Which is Wow, you got written in mine. I'm sorry.
Motherfucker! Damn.
How does that make you feel on the inside, Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Look at here.
I think we should wrap this episode up. Anyone, anyone got any last comments before we conclude?
You're about characters and nerd comedy. Anybody ever watched It's Just Some Random Guy on YouTube?
Oh, the YouTube crowd is an interesting aspect of the new the new comedy era.
Because
pretty much if you have a camera, anyone can be a comedian.
Tell me about it.
But it's how much energy and thought and skill you actually put into it.
Yeah.
Like just that random guy started making random videos about the Marvel versus DC compared to the Apple versus Mac, versus PC
thing. That was actually his start.
And from there, he found the niche. And then start branching out. Like, he doesn't just do those infomercials anymore. He actively does storylines.
Yeah.
It's also Happy Slip. If anyone knows, she makes fun of her family. Because I was thinking about the other guys you were talking about, like Kevin Hart and guys who
there aren't many big Asian comedians.
Kev Jumba!
That is a YouTube comedian.
I just threw that out.
Russell Peters.
All right.
I want to say Steve Byrne.
Yeah.
But he's ambiguously Asian.
Like Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas. He's not even Asian.
Wait,
dang. And the only when I think of Asian comedy, the one that comes straight to my mind is Dap Van.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
that Mortal Kombat joke about him going to the bathroom. Oh, wait, Margaret Cho.
Feminist and cultural. True. But there was this one
comedian. Fag Hag.
Basically.
Like, that's what she is. If you ask her, she will tell you. She's
I thought you were naming us comedians.
They're from Vietnam.
Give it up for a fag hag.
Cricket. No, I'd probably be the one to laugh.
Yeah, you would.
You'd be in the background.
You'd be like that laughing ostrich. Just like,
ha ha. Oh, man.
The French level.
I wish I could remember this comedian's name. He's a Chinese immigrant, and he has his shtick where he's like, this guy came up to him and was like, grow some balls, man, and because he's like, I don't want to fight you. Like, the guy was like, get some balls. And he's like, in his accent, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's because of the accent, he just said like, why would I grow some balls? That is more sensitive. If I really want to win fight, I would not grow balls. I would hit you in balls. And his delivery is so much better than mine, but still, because I can't remember the guy's name. So yeah,
Joe Coy is another funny one.
My thing with
he's in that Chelsea Handler circuit, though.
Yeah, my thing with that, there's nothing wrong with the Chelsea Handler circuit. Chris Hardwick's part of that.
Chelsea Handler, but like that E Network, we can get.
The E Network. Okay,
we can just get this community anytime we want.
Hard gay.
Not only so much the comedian, so much the guy who decided he wants to dress up and. My thing with
Japanese comedian.
Yeah, my thing with that fan is that he sort of got caught up in the whole Asian part of the comedy, and he did what he isolated himself from
And it's harder to do just Asian comedy than it is to do black comedy.
He came out as an Asian comic doing Asian comedy. And that sort of pigeonholed him into the part, like, it's like, Bo Burnham made a joke that, like, it's so easy to, like, to do a stupid accent, and everyone's laughing at you because it's okay.
Say what you will about urban comedy, but they're at least, white people can still kind of...
There's a genre for urban comedy, specifically. Yeah.
But white people can still kind of laugh at that stuff because at least there's stuff that they've seen. And not necessarily they relate to, but there's some things they might have seen that's still funny. But Asian comedy, it's a little harder because
in America,
yeah,
only because like that they're unfortunately Asians as a minority have not been put into the forefront of like television in any kind of medium like that.
Yeah,
Last Airbender.
Did you say Last Airbender?
What? No. I have a phlegm in my
throat. There are Asian people in that movie.
It doesn't count.
Take that, Slumdog Millionaire.
Dry
That was a little more racist than I expected.
That's a beautiful move, man. Come on.
Man, shut up, Dernis.
Damn.
Man, you shut up.
Luke Cage.
Thought you didn't play Mortal Kombat.
Man, he says stop Luke confusing me.
Cage. I know.
Stop confusing me.
Sorry.
Oh God. All right. Did we do what did we say? Improv comedy. One else we wanted to talk about, or I guess for that one, I can only think of Whose Line Is It Anyway, and what's that show called? Nick Cannon Show.
Wildin'
Out.
Wildin' Out.
Yeah. What? Even that was like.
Is Wildin' Out improv?
No, because
I don't.
It's
not.
Very,
yeah,
it
it's not.
Very
it's one of those things where I listen to comedians say it's a horrible show.
Yeah. It's like. It's maybe funny here and there, but it's just like.
Every once in a while, you'll get a funny moment.
Yeah.
But consistently, it was hit or miss. It's the only reason why they cut so much of the show out. Like, with the thing with Whose Line, they were there for like a day recording like
show
a season's worth of episodes.
Yeah.
Damn.
Whose Line? They were there for like an hour, yeah. Had to cut out 75% of it just to make it a funny
you mean,
show.
You mean Wild Now?
Wild Now.
Yeah.
It's like. Because you can tell in Whose Line, like, there were some episodes where you see, like, like Ryan and Gray were just like we're kind of tired of each other. Like,
yep.
I'm tired of being around you sometimes, dude.
Yeah, they were. They were. And like, Drew, and Drew too.
Yeah,
that's what I loved about Who's Line with Wild and Out. There's this real adversarial thing going on in the background because they were actually competing, yeah. And they were actively going after each other, which isn't healthy for any
working, or work yeah. environment. Whatever.
Work environment.
Yeah.
While Who's Line, it was just like I'm gonna make fun of Greg. Well, I'm gonna make fun of you, Drew.
I'm gonna make
move on. It's all in the book,
and it you, made Wayne Brady openly hilarious.
I love Wayne Brady.
He's a 40-year-old woman, have proud of her body.
like Wayne Brady is so funny because they sort of pigeonholed him in this certain role of Who's On, he just went with it.
Yep. He's like, I'm the black guy.
Yep.
And I can sing. I'm kind of track. I'm above average.
My favorite Who's On moment is like they're like. He's like, we'll get back to Mary Had a Little Lamb. Colin, we're watching animal porn. And the entire...
Wow.
Certain people that shouldn't rap, Wayne Brady.
Good point. All you white people.
Colin Mockery is one of the funniest improv guys I've ever heard.
That's not fair. He's Canadian. He has a jump start on all of them.
His ability to make a joke out of nothing
himself, nothing else.
Like when they would do that weekend update kind of thing, where like
and
Colin would come up with a stupid name for himself every time that came into this really dumb pun.
I'm Rainy Nipples. I'm still
Look, I love self-deprecating comedy.
Yeah,
I think it's hilarious.
Self-deprecating comedy should be the key to any comedian's act. Because when you become popular, you will need that shit to keep you grounded.
Yeah.
Like, you just talk about how out the rest of the if you entirely talk about how the rest of the world sucks and not you, people will turn against you.
Exactly.
One of the point in Dane Cook is one of the perfect examples of that. Yeah. He was talking about everything.
I think you're looking for case in point.
Yeah, case in point.
Yeah.
For a long time he was talking about everything but himself.
Yeah.
And if he did talk about himself, it was so much about how awesome he is. And how he got out of this situation. Yeah. Oh, man, I cheated on my girlfriend. Gotta wash this clear off my pubes. Like, okay, Dane.
Good for you. You can have a less than monogamous relationship and get away with it. Good for you. I cannot relate to that at all. And also, there's a matter of, like...
I can't even have one relationship.
There's a self-deprecation again.
No. Remind me of Patton Oswalt.
Shigar used to make fun of himself all the time in high school. I remember that because every time we say something about these, like one of each other, Chagall would interject and say something, and everybody would go, "Oh man, come on!"
I just have to be the balance because, like, my thing is that, like, I have to make jokes that are just like offensive to everyone, which is why I'm okay with it. Something about which is why.
But when you make when you overtly make offensive jokes, you have to temper it with actual intelligence.
But my point isn't to offend. My point is to satirize.
Just to the point, just to the point of satirism.
Yeah.
So someone going out like, "Oh, he hates the blacks." No, he was comparing, you know, the blacks to white people. Did you see what he was doing right there?
The blacks is just never going to sound good. I love the blacks.
Yeah. Sirius, his cousin, all of them.
He's like, yeah.
Thumbs up.
Oh, my gosh. Peter, where did you get that? From blacks.
What?
You're black, you know, black. behind the drugstore.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Government came and took my baby.
probably the most, like, shocking joke they ever did on Family Guy was that whole, like, thing of killing Joe's son. Just like, oh, he died in Iraq. quick as that. I'm just like, that was just hilarious. And deadpan.
Another one when, what's his name? Peter went up to a bunch of black people and said nigger, and then he came back and he had the king of black people.
They respected me for it. They respected me for it. It's like,
then when you went to the Million Man March, you started talking about, you people are what's wrong with this world.
He meant men, not black men, but...
But it was Cleveland's face.
That's almost as bad as that South Park episode, the nigger guy episode.
It's like this word will be...
You'll never understand what it's like to be called a nigger.
You know what it's like to be called a nigger guy? You'll never understand. It hurts.
But the crowd,
and then they ban the word. We're gonna ban a word that's hideous and ugly and hurts so many people. No longer are you allowed to say nigger guy.
Now we're sort of bleeding into television, so we're gonna wrap this episode
up.
Fair enough. Last thoughts before we finally wrap this up.
I like to make bad jokes.
Sorry.
Wait, what?
Okay, I guess that's all. This has been our comedy episode. Someone plug the show. Boop, 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 boop. Boop.
I already did it.
Boop, 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 boop.
Boop, okay, boop, fine, boop. I'll do it.
Boop.
We have the Tumblr, which is pcplovesanonymous.tumblr.com. It's directly, I wish we had video sometime because that was just interesting.
Well,
hey,
we could.
PCP 2013 video show.
Why 13?
Because we don't have the budget in 2012.
I mean, if we're still alive by then, you know, with them conspiracies.
Damn, the Illuminati. The Freemasons are responsible for everything.
Ooh, do we get the little carts in the hat?
No, they're Shriners.
Ah, my bad.
We have the email. And then we have the Facebook. It's Pop Culture Podcast. Just nice.
And we have the Twitter,
which is We Love PCP. And if you're on Spill, hit us up. Look up Chagall's name or look up Pop Culture Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. If anyone who's liked this episode wants to get into some of what we like in comedy, in terms of podcasting format, check out Comedy Bang Bang. It's pretty good. And look, check out the Nerdist podcast. And if you're going to check out the Nerdist, listen to it from episode one. Because there are a lot of running gags that will be lost on you if you listen to it.
Yeah, you got to start from the beginning.
Also, listen to the main podcast on Spill.
Of course, L.E.G.
Because they are hilarious.
Let's do this. A couple of cold ones. Leon is always informational.
Oh, a couple of whole ones are hilarious.
Yeah. Corey's is information right now. So, there's going to be so much space kicking.
Let's do this co-hosting.
Corey,
yeah.
So,
oh my God, that sounds like a noodle story.
A noodle story.
Yeah,
a
noodle story. Something pretentious that makes no sense. No, I'm joking.
Oh. You mean your existence, sir?
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment. Those are the type of inside jokes you can only get by listening from episode one. So, there's no script, so I can't tell you I can't tell you our next episode in advance.
The next episode's on spaghetti. And why it's awesome.
We're going to stretch that to an hour and 10 minutes.
You damn right we will.
Good luck with that.
Hey, there's angel hair, and there's...
Linguini.
I don't think that counts.
Yeah, it does.
Pasta fagioli.
What you call me?
You're going to call it...
No, I messed it up. It's pasta fagioli. You're going to call it pasta fagioli like everyone else.
That's sad.
Yeah, Olive Garden Italians.
Wow.
In Italian, it's called Mike Birbidia. In American, you're annoying.
Brian.
Hi, my name is Carol. Caroline. No, it's Carolyn. Well, my name is Brian.
Brian.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know what
Brian Regan is a comedian we didn't talk about. I love him. Brian Regan is legitimately one of the comedians that if you have kids, you can take him to with no problem. He's one of the cleanest comedians in the world.
Yeah.
No cursing.
He doesn't need curse words to make the big yellow one the sun. Literally, his latest album, The Epitome of Hyperbola. No, the epitome of hyperbola. Literally, half someone interrupted in the middle of the show. Said the big yellow was his son.
Oh,
yes. Yes, it is. Don't you see him doing a show?
That's right. Don't take your kids to see Daniel Tosh or Bill Hicks.
Oh no!
One curse.
Natalie.
One curse a lot. The other one's dead, but a genius nonetheless.
Yeah.
We miss you, Bill Hicks. You're probably the best comedian that ever was.
Mitch Hedberg.
That's what I was about to just say.
I still want to say Dennis Leary still.
He was so high all the time.
Oh, and I hate Carlton City. On top of that.
Who doesn't hate Carlton
City? I'm just saying, like that whole thing about comedians stealing stuff from each other. Wow, like. Never has it been put.
I've learned that the comedian stealing from is something is big in Chicago.
That
Chicago area of comedy. It's
not
the point. If like it in that area, if you stole another person's joke, someone will punch you in the face.
Yep.
Literally, someone will get up on the stage and punch you in the face.
Oh my God.
That's why Joe Rogan is so anti-stealing.
Oh my God,
he's from that area of comedy.
Yep.
Wow.
Plus he's also a Roy.
And plus he knows MMA.
Exactly. I heard he's one of the nicest men in the world, yeah. But he will kick your ass.
But it's like, you know what? When Adam Sandler and like funny people says, it's like, I don't know how to fight. I'm a comedian. Joe Rogan kind of plays that mold a little bit. I don't want a comedian. I don't want to laugh at someone who can kick my butt. That's not funny.
You don't. Here's the thing. You don't want to laugh. Comedians lose their luster when they're
never laugh at Audie again.
Or Terry.
No, comedians lose their luster when they become successful. Like where's the tragedy in your life where you can make jokes when you've got more money than Hammer? Oh, I mean, not Hammer.
I got more money than Hammer.
Try to get more money than Hammer. When you've got more money than me, how much will we see the tragedy of your life? That's why I love comedians. Once they become actors, they don't go back.
Martin Lawrence.
There are comedians that are actors that are funny.
Well, that's when you like you go back and revisit. There's a difference.
Okay.
Like, they transfer to acting and stay in acting, then like dabble in stand up. They never go back. They never go back full time anyway.
Oh, full time, no.
Well, why
would you? Where's the money in that?
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
That'd be like, never mind. Go ahead.
No, I want to hear what you're about to say, my friend.
It's a wrestling joke. No one cares.
No. Okay.
Look, no one cares.
People care less about that than comic books.
Okay, I'll believe that.
Exactly.
I'm Hugh Morris. Lord, his name was a pun. And that was his shtick.
I'm so angry.
A little bit. This is one of your closest off, Avery.
Yeah, so I forgot. We're not going to say you the next episode. You're just going to have to stay tuned. Or listen to the other one. We're probably listening to the next episode after comedy. No script.
Actually, the next episode is summer movies. Yay! I remember that.
Or was last week.
I have seen one movie this summer.
Really?
In the world.
Wow.
Wow.
This is starring Lucas Lee. Started singing it. I know what it was. And you're gonna keep on singing it forever just because it's in the song that never ends. And it goes on and. Sorry, turn to the Lamb Chop for 2 minutes.
Lamb Chop is fantastic. She was on The Nanny, and then she got eaten by a dog.
Oh my God.
But she's fine.
No, she's dead.
Well, the original puppeteer for Lamb Chop is dead.
Yeah.
But her daughter picked up the calling.
She died too.
Daughter's still alive.
No.
It's just she is.
Well, she's in a wheelchair.
Wow. Anyway, I'm saying out for the rest of the boys of the Peace Be Broadsword. Yes, it's a broadsword.
Peace Be Broadsword.
Broadsword. We're going to Middle Earth, bitches.
Yeah.
You can have my axe.
Madden.
Brett Favre.
You see, Brett Favre is the greatest.
Like Johnny Endo is nothing but Brett Favre. Well, you see, when you put the ball in there and you go back to press and he goes, Brett Favre.
Sounds like a white Bill Cosby impression.
That's what John Madden is.
Oh, there you go.
Cut to me.
I didn't even sign everyone out.
We don't need to.
Okay, then.
Dang.